You know, that's where we left off or started last week. And that in the beginning was the
Word.
You might as well go home. You got it. It's that simple. It really is. Most of the time in the Word of God, you won't see where they prayed for anybody. It says, if there's any sick among you, bring before the elders. But you won't see where they prayed for people. They just spoke to it. Said, get out. Get up. Take your bed. They spoke faith over the situation. They didn't go over there and try to conjure up faith. Because a lot of times that's what we have to do. In our minds. And those thoughts usually come if you've never prayed for anybody and saw the healing. Isn't that what happens most of the time? If you haven't seen it, you got to go through all 46 healing scriptures. And most of the time, we're building our faith up to believe for it. I mean, that's just a reality. We've all been there. But then when you watch and you just speak to it and something happens, that's his job. I forgot. That's not mine. My job is to step out in faith. My job is to act upon his word and to speak to the situation. His job is to confirm his word with what? Signs and a wonder. What does it do? Makes you wonder. Oh, and it makes you wonder. It does. He does things that you better be hearing from the Holy Ghost before you spit in somebody's eye. But don't hold back if he tells you to. That's the point of no return. I know it was God. I'm sure it's God. I'm almost positive it's God. If he tells you to. Then it's the faith to step out and do it. Amen? Now, don't raise your hands, but a thought would be, how many people have you ever prayed for to receive Jesus Christ? Because I believe the statistic is 90% of Christians, I think it's 87 or 90, somewhere in there, have never led anybody to Christ. It's not about condemnation. It's about it is written, right? He said in the beginning was the
word.
And in his word, he said, go and make. Right. Go and pray for him. Go and proclaim the word. We know a lot about a lot of things. But a lot of times when we get in situations, it's not the word that comes out. And that's on the whole church. It's the issue with the church. The problem is, we go home after someone preaches or teaches or whatever it is, and then those thoughts are not the prominent thoughts the rest of the day. I don't know about you, but I remember when I first got saved and we would be getting ready to go to church, and my thought was, what I have to do after we get back. That's what my thoughts were. Okay, honey, we have to be leaving church as soon as it's over today because I got a lot to do. I've missed it all because I'm preparing for what's next and not enjoying and giving what's asked by the King of Glory. Amen? And this is where we have to get back to so we are not scripturally illiterate as a body of Christ. We will have no excuses when we stand before the Father. There's a lot of different podcasts and stuff like that that you can listen to. There's all kinds of things that you can get into that take up the time and your efforts, or you enjoy it. But my prayer this morning is that you would enjoy the word so much that you couldn't set it down. That the word would start to transform the way that you think and the way that you ponder and your dreams and your desires, but also your imagination. Can I tell you, God gave you your imagination. And if you've dreamed about healing people, you ever dream about laying hands on people and watching them recover? Anybody besides me? Good. Then we might better study that out and see what he said about it. Amen? Not just laying in bed with some imagination of everything that God's going to use you to do, and then you get up and just go to work without even talking to him in the morning. God has a plan for each one of our lives. God has a purpose for each one of our lives. But he also has principles that he builds on. Amen? Because he's looking. Nobody wants to raise infants their whole lives. Nobody. Just the thought conjures up nightmarish things. As the body of Christ, it's time that we started stepping out knowing we're covered in the armor of God, knowing you have the power and the authority that God has given you, knowing who you are in Jesus Christ, that you don't have to go out of here, because this is our desire, that you don't walk out of here trying to conjure up something.
That's right.
You don't have to go out of here. When you leave here, it's not, all right, I got to get into this. No, we're into it already. You already have. Actually, our prayer is that it's into you. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Word of God is in you. And when the Word comes out, it does what God sent it to do. You're the deliverer. Isn't that good news? You're just a deliverer. We were praying this morning about scattering seed. How easy is it? If you've ever seeded a lawn, how easy is it to scatter seed? It's a little more difficult if you want like a good pattern, you know what I mean? Instead of just clumps everywhere. But it's quite easy to scatter seed. And this is it's very easy to scatter seed in your life every single day. Every single day, it's very easy to scatter seed. It's very easy to speak of the things of God when you're in love and when you believe. Right? We said last week, in the beginning was the Word, and then we said the doubt and unbelief are the things that fill our minds a lot of the time. Because many times we go to pray for someone, and then that doubt comes, or that unbelief comes. And so they said, help us in our unbelief. This is what they spoke. How do we help ourselves with our unbelief? We stay in the Word. And we stay in prayer. The one thing that destroys unbelief is his Word. How many lived in unbelief before you knew Jesus Christ? Now that we're in Christ, now we're in faith. Tell your neighbor, say, I am in faith. See, in order to be Christian, you're going to have to be in faith. Because by faith, you are saved, right? You believe in your and confess with your that Jesus Christ is Lord. She had a different scripture. That salvation, how hard is that to share and to sow that seed? Very simple. It's just a few words. The issue comes with the other thought that comes. What if they spit in my eye? So it's an act of faith every single day. And the thing that strengthens our faith is the Word of God. And the Word of God always renews what? The mind. So therefore it deals with unbelief. It deals with condemnation. Deals with it all the time, all through the Word of God. He's destroyed your condemnation. You're not condemned before the Father. I'll look this way. Neither is the person sitting next to you. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He's a shield. I like hiding behind God's shield. We said last week, every word is of God is tested in Proverbs 30. In Luke 1:37, we said, for the word of God will never, it'll never return void, and it will never fail. It will never fail. I will fail you. Maybe some in here, I already have failed you. Please forgive me. Let me know so I don't do it again. I don't have no problem admitting it. You know, we all make mistakes. But if you hang on to someone else, what they have done, you eliminate what God can do for you. I don't want that. I don't care how many times I have to repent per day. I've had a lot of practice. I don't care. If it propels someone else farther in their walk with Christ, then let's take the high road, which is the low road, amen? Which is what the world says. So if there's something eating at you, I don't want that eating at you. And I say that with all of my heart, because I don't want anyone standing before the Lord saying, I held on to something that someone did to me or said to me or whatever the issue is or didn't say to me or didn't give me. I don't want anyone standing before the Lord and saying, I never had an opportunity to forgive them because they were too proud, they were too arrogant because of a title. Your title doesn't mean anything before the Lord. That's only for here and now. Only for here and now. The problem is that you allow someone else to dictate your future. I only want the Holy Ghost dictating your future. That's it. All we want to do is come and share the love of God and the word of God with you to strengthen and equip the body of Christ so that when you walk out of here, the words that you share bring life to someone else, the life that you have already received through Jesus Christ. Amen? We've got to get away from all of the other things that have been encircled or surrounded us in the way that we were raised or in the things that we've experienced. Most of the time, everybody brings the word of God down to their experience. If you haven't seen a healing, oh, who does Hope think she is? The issue is Hope knows who she is. That's the issue. So the question is, do you know who you are? And do you believe and agree with the power of the word of God? Because if you believe in the power of the word of God, then you'll lay hands on someone. And if you have never seen anyone get healed, then you'll take the word of God down to your experience and say, well, we'll bring them to Hope. That's not what the word of God says. He said, you pray for them. You pray for them. You pray for them. Y'all pray for them. Every single one in here has the same authority and power. Some believe. Isn't it that simple? Some believe that when you speak, someone else will listen and come to Christ. And therefore, they share Christ. Some believe that when they lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. And therefore, they speak it over their lives. Some believe. Some struggle. Experience or the word, down to my experience, we nullify the word of God. It's time that we elevated the word of God. And we bring our experience up to come in agreement with it because we don't stop until we see that work in our lives. We don't stop reading. We don't stop praying. We don't stop laying hands on. We don't stop giving. We don't stop agreeing. I stand on that promise that my whole family shall be saved. Right? I don't know about you. Some people bring the word of God down to their experience. Well, I haven't seen it yet. That's the problem. Your experience dictates how far you'll go in the Word of God and what you'll agree the Word of God can do. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to stand in it. Me and my bride, we rejoice all the time in worship knowing that every one of them will be saved. We turned them over to God. Most of them, there's two that still live in our house, so we got to. We still gave them to God. They didn't all make the best choices all the time. A lot of good choices, but not perfect all the time. It doesn't change the fact of what his word says we're going to have in our family. Therefore, it doesn't affect the relationship that we have with them. Because even when they make mistakes, I'm still agreeing with what the word of God says. And then we walk through it with them. Right? Because that's where my faith is. That's what I'm believing what God said. He said they shall be. All my grandkids, they will be. They'll all be saved. When my great-grandkids come, they'll all be saved. I don't have any doubt about it. I'm not worried about it. I'm not fretting about it. Why? Because that's what his word says. When we start to stand on his word and not move from it, faith starts to stir inside of our hearts. Because every time that lie comes, oh, brother, you don't know what he's into. You don't know what she's into. You don't know what he's done. You don't know what she's done. Nope, don't need to either. I know what his word says. And I'll just stay there. And I'm going to proclaim that over every one of the lives of all of my children and all of my grandchildren. That's where we're going to stay. Yeah, but do you know what? Don't need to. I know what my God said, and I know the power of the Holy Ghost, what he can do. Because look what he did for you, you filthy lovers of God, you cleansed, made whole, healed, and delivered sons and daughters of God. Right? What did he do in our lives, and what junk did he take us out of? How much easier is it for them? They didn't do half the stuff you did. I don't know, everybody starts looking down at that moment, you know? I'm just saying, that's what the word of God says, and he can pull every one of us out of a miry pit. Right? We said complaining. Just look at your neighbor, say, I apologize for my complaining. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'm done with your complaining. Complaining always leads to doubt and unbelief. Complaining always leads to doubt and unbelief. Complaining always leads to doubt and unbelief. Complaining. In the beginning should be the
word.
See, we're either going to say the word over the situation, your family shall be saved. Or we're going to say, oh, those kids. I was reading this morning, and that blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Amen. Listen, God said, you're blessed when your quiver is full. That's right. Guess what you're going to have when your quiver is full?
Children.
Well, there's that. You're not going to have hamsters, that's for sure. You're going to have problems. You're going to have different personalities. You're going to have ones that make decisions that are different than the ones you thought they should have made. You're going to have all these highs and lows in your emotions. You're going to have to deal with all of that, but you're blessed when you get to deal with that. Well, God wants you to enjoy what he's blessed with. Right? What did that one comedian say? He said, he knows why God created, why God gave us sons and daughters. Because he said he wanted us to know what it felt like to create something that what? That denies your existence. You're going to have to go through that. All right? You're going to have to walk. But you are blessed according to the word of God. You complain all the time about your children, it brings doubt and unbelief. But you start to remind yourself, oh, our quiver is full. Oh, our quiver is full. Oh, our quiver is full. You're going to have to make a decision on that one. But not, you know what? Our quiver is full. Can you help me? Complaining always brings that doubt and unbelief. How many love it when people rejoice over you? Doesn't that transform your life? It changes everything, right? When someone comes up, says, man, Josh Williams, that's a good-looking man right there. Look at me, closes his eyes, he smiles, he just starts to, he's a jolly old feller. It just starts to bring joy into our lives. It starts to stir something up. That's what happens when we agree with the word, amen? This is where we stand. We don't move from it. I have a strong marriage because we agreed with his word. This is where we stand. Two minutes. Sean? Oh, that's Chad. Chad, back to the Catholic Church with you. I don't even know if he went there. I'm just kidding with him. Sorry, I'm trying to find a spot where... Listen, the word of God is God personally addressing you. The word of God is always about God personally addressing you. Whatever situation you're in, you're going to find things in the word of God that personally addresses you. Amen? So then when you get to the word of God, you're going to have to make a decision. Do I agree with the word of God or do I agree with my experience? Am I going to submit to the word of God or am I going to submit to my experience? Because one of the two is going to guide our lives. One brings freedom. The other one, what does that bring? Bondage. Bondage in our lives. So we got to submit one or the other. Because the presence of God is here because we've submitted to him. It's the only reason why. Listen, you live outside of his word. What happens to the presence? You make a conscious decision. I'm going to do it my way. The presence of God starts to leave. You start worshiping on one mountain and he's on another. And sometimes we don't even know it. That's the sad part. And everyone, I don't know about you, but I know I had a time in my life where my mind was all over the place, just distracted. No major sin or nothing, but I was worshiping God, but his presence wasn't there. I was singing, but he wasn't there with me in that moment. And I was trying to fight through in my own strength. And I want you to know, I was pathetically weak. And until my knees buckled and I agreed with what he said, the presence didn't come back. And those are some dry times. If you've ever been in those valleys, can I tell you, that's where the depression comes from. Depression comes from agreeing with the lie rather than the truth. That's what happens in depression. You feel like you're all alone. Does his word say that you'll never be alone? But that presence you don't sense, therefore you feel like you're all alone. Don't go by that clock, Pastor Jeff. Psalms 107, verse 6. Chad, can you throw that up there? Because if it's not highlighted in your Bible, it needs to be, and you need to memorize it. I'm sure many of you have already memorized it. It says, they cried unto the Lord in their what? Come on, Chad. I got faith in you. Psalms 107, 6. I cried to the Lord in my trouble. Tell your neighbor, say, you're going to have trouble. Tell your other neighbor, say, don't cry to the pastor. It says they cried unto the Lord. Lord, in their trouble. You're going to have trouble. And I just want to ask you this morning, I know some people in here, you've been walking through some trouble. You've been walking through wrong thoughts. You've been walking through some struggles. But the rest of that verse says, and he delivered them out of some of them. A couple of them. Only the ones that they felt like they got delivered from. They got delivered from all of their distresses. What distresses you right now? Not the clock. But I know that you're walking through, because some are in the valley of decision. Some, God has been calling you to step out in a greater faith, and you've limited him. And that's the trouble. Sometimes trouble can be a lack of obedience. Because God said, okay, yeah, you're saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, water baptized, all of those things are taken care of. Now I want you to step out a little bit more. We're even going to, you know what? I'm going to get you to tithe. That's a big step, God. It's mine. I worked for it. I remember going through that struggle. Some people, that's a trouble. That distresses them. It distressed me. We had fights in church about her writing out that check. I grabbed her by the hand. I said, don't you dare. She said, I'm doing that. Don't you dare do it. We don't have enough. We won't if you don't let me tithe. We're not. We are. And she wrote out that check. And I learned something. She was right. Again. And so we gave again the next week and the next week. And then we said, well, that's not enough. Now we got to give alms and offerings. We started doing them. And then everything we've done, God has blessed. Everywhere you sow, God blesses. Whether it's words or whether it's that. Maybe you have a distress with a neighbor. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe that's your trouble. Maybe you got trouble at work. I don't know what it is, but I want you to know God wants to deliver you out of it all. We were just at, what's her name yesterday? Tim and Sophia. Sorry. Drew a blank. Tim Knowles and Sophia Dunn got married last night at the Cordova's residence. They're in Cancun now. And just reminded, sometimes in marriages we got trouble. No, Brett? Brett's over here going, nah, mine's good. Sometimes in marriage, there's trouble. But God wants to deliver us out of it all, amen? He said, I can fix what you did when you denied the power of my word. Isn't that what it comes back down to? Right? Raising children. He can fix what we did when we got outside of his word. When it comes to your family members that you struggle with, he can take care of that. He can fix what you did because you couldn't keep a civil tongue in your head. Oh no, it was all them. Right. It wasn't your recourse that added anything. Whatever your trouble is, I want you to know he can deliver you out of them all. That's what his word says. Whatever your trouble is, whatever your distresses are, and he wants you to step out of it today. How many can believe for a miracle from God today? All right, if you got trouble, stand up this morning. If you got no troubles, just stay down. You're good. If there's anything in your life, in your mind, that you're like, Lord, what do I do about this? Because it might not be anything bad, but maybe you need to get over this hump. You need to get past this thought process that's been taking you captive your whole life. In the beginning was the word, right? There's an area that isn't surrendered in your life to the word, and it keeps on tugging at you. You can't find that freedom. At night, it comes back in. How many know that there's some tears that come at night? Yeah, but this is the morning. It's morning time. Do you ever get so troubled at night that you laid there and you could not think of a way out? And in the morning, you finally went to sleep. You cried out to God. You finally fell asleep. You woke up in the morning and thought, that was the stupidest thing to worry about. Can I tell you? All the things that trouble you are silly things that we spend time on. All of them. They're just as silly. I remember waking up in the morning and thinking, I thought, what was that all about? That's stupid. Hey, listen, I need a hand with this. Okay, I'll be over. All night I worried about it. All night I fretted about it. It's not going to get done. Holy mackerel. A relationship. Hey, listen, I want to apologize. Okay, I forgive you. Anything else? Want me to do some plumbing for free or something? I got to make up for it. I got to earn this. I got to fix this. No, you're forgiven. You know, I was awake for 4 hours last night thinking about this. Oh, that's okay. You're free. Yeah, but you don't understand. This consumed me. Okay, but I forgave you. Yeah, but we got... No, that's not the way it works. And we start trouble again. Because we didn't agree with the word. You ever worked yourself into something like that? Yeah, I did. When we agree with the word, he wants to take care of those distresses and those troubles today. When we surrender them to him. Whatever it is. Maybe you're struggling in your finances and that's your trouble today. I want you to know there's plenty of work out there. It always gets quiet when you talk about work. That four-letter word. There's plenty out there. If you're in need, let us know. We know a lot of contractors. We can hook you up with another job. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? It's what he said in his word. Amen. God's got some practical ways. And we'll get into Hebrews next week. But we have to stay within what the word says for your situation. Yeah, but you don't know the thoughts that are going through my mind right now. I know the ones I want going through your mind. You're loved. You're saved. You're whole. You're healed. You're delivered. He'll take care of you. He'll take you through your trials, your troubles, your distresses. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. There's no dead end with your Father. There's no dead end with your Father. Listen, the whole book was written from your Father to you. How many in here say, don't raise your hand. How many in here say, my father wasn't around? Broke hearts. Boys and girls walking around with a wound that's huge. And God said, I'll sit with you every day, all day. I don't want to have time. I don't have time for you. He wants to heal that area. How many said, my dad didn't teach me anything? He wants to teach you everything. The beginning of the universe. He wants to show you how every animal was created, where the wind came from. He wants to show it all. How many say, I wish I had more time with my dad because he's gone? He said, don't worry. I got all the time. I don't even live in time. So come on and spend your evenings with me. He's a father that wants you with him. He doesn't push you away. He doesn't say, I don't have time for you. He says to every little girl in here, climb up on my lap because I'm going to hold you tighter than anyone ever did. And everything I promised you is yours. That's your father. He doesn't hold back. And then we're the ones that say, I don't have time for your words. He said, but my words bring life and life more abundantly. Yeah, but the Simpsons are on or what? I don't know. I just know that was a filthy, stupid show years ago and we never watched it. But some people do. Yeah, but my favorite horror movie is on. God says, oh, okay. And he waits. And unfortunately, our decisions bring us to a place where we need him even more, and we can't do without him. But he said, I don't want you to get to a place where you can't take it anymore. I want to walk with you all the way through each situation. And how about we do it according to my word? Oh, there's still going to be trials, but be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome. What's he overcome? The world and everything in it. Every demon in the heavens and on earth and every situation you'll ever face, he has already overcome it, and he'll walk you through because he's a good, 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 good father. He's a father. And this is his love letter to you. He said, I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to miss anything. I want you to be able to read it over and over and over again. Thank God it wasn't one sermon and that's all we got. Isn't he good? I'm going to tell you all once. Do as I say. We couldn't write fast enough. All of us writing at the same time couldn't have grasped all that he wanted. He said, I want you to know I'm so madly in love with you, I'm going to write it down. And I want you to hide this in your heart. And when you do, it's going to renew your mind. And as it renews your mind, everything in your life is going to change. So I don't know what your troubles are, but I want you to know there's a way out today. I want you to know there's freedom in your life today to lay aside all of your troubles, whatever they are. And I don't know. And I don't need to know. That's him. He needs to know. And actually, he already knows what you're struggling with. What a good father, huh? Did you ever pull anything over on your father? I did. I asked my father after I was married for about 12 years. That's when I finally got the courage to ask him if he knew some of the things we did with his truck. I said, hey, Dad, did you ever know we did this? He goes, what are you talking about? Yes. No sense going any farther. But you see, my God knows everything in my life, and he still wants me with him. He still wants to talk to me. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to try to create anything. I don't have to try to get in his good graces. You are in his good graces right now because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're in it. Maybe it wasn't like that in your house, but you're in it in this house. In this house, you're in his good graces if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. His arms are wide open. You're in his good graces. Just tell your neighbor, say, I am in his good graces. Tell your other neighbor, say, you look like you're in his good graces. Yeah, you better say it to your daddy. Whatever troubles you're going through, we're going to pray right now. And I want you to go before the Father. I'm only saying what the Word of God says. In the beginning was the... And he said, in this life you're going to have trouble. How many is he going to deliver you out of? All of them. And that starts today. People said, you've gone too far. No, you haven't. People said, I know your past. He washed it away. People say, you're not tall enough. Yeah, I am. For whatever he's got, he used that midget, the munchkin there, what's his name, Zacchaeus, right? He had to climb up in a tree just to be eye to eye with Jesus. God can use anybody. It doesn't matter. We look at the natural. God doesn't. He looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. Stop it. Just stop it. Let's pray. If you're married, grab your spouse's hand. Honey. We are married, right? Okay. Because where one puts 1,000, two put 10,000. we're getting ready to drive some darkness out of every life in here and in this entire area. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the power of your word. Dad, we thank you for your presence in this place. No matter what any one of them have come out of, Father, we thank you for them. Father, we thank you that the blood is enough to cleanse and to make whole. Father, in so many troubles and so many hurts, but you're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're the one that makes whole. So, Father, today, every trouble that everyone brings up, Father, I pray that they would just lay it at your altar. Lord, that as a sign of surrender, they would just take their hands and just lay it down at your altar. As a sign of surrender and submission to the authority of your word. For you said that you would cleanse. You said that you would make whole. You said you would renew and strengthen. You said you would destroy the darkness and bring us into your marvelous light. You said that you have overcome, therefore we walk in the light as you are our light. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke every lie that's been spoken over each mind in here, that they would know right now you have delivered them out of their troubles. You're making a way out. You're showing them a way out right now. Because you have brought them into a place of peace. You have brought them into a place of joy. And Lord, that as they start to rejoice, then the enemy becomes scattered in every direction. For in the midst of worship, oh, when your presence comes, no darkness can stand. Father, I pray that your body would start to sing with all that they have. Early in the morning, that even the neighbors say, what's happened? Something's changed next door. And when they come and they ask, we would be able to proclaim, yes, Jesus Christ has set me free. And I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. And Lord, that we would even lead our neighbors into that place where they would lay their troubles down. So Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost this morning. That would speak to our hearts to say, lay that down, turn from that wicked way, have nothing to do with that thought process anymore. Stay away from them because they lead you astray. Whatever the Holy Ghost says, Father, you said you're going to lead us out of every one of our troubles. All the days of our lives. So today, Father, we agree. That we're going to speak your word over every situation. And whatever you have spoken, we're going to agree with. We're not bringing your word down to our experience. But we're elevating your word. And we're holding it in our hearts. You said that we won't sin against you. Father, let that be the cry of our heart. I don't want to void your word in my heart. But I'll agree with it no matter what I see. Today, Father, we agree that we truly are free indeed because of what you have done at Calvary through the submission of your Son, through the blood that was shed, through the body that was broken for our healing, our deliverance, and our salvation. And we give you all the praise for that freedom right now, right now, right now. Father, we're free because you said so. Lord, there's joy in our lives because you gave it to us. Father, there's healing in our bodies because you said that is ours. And we won that through the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, we stand on it. We give you the glory. Let everyone hear of what you have done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.